He kind of started all the plants growing, and he started people. Well, I guess he's kind of big and fat.
He can see us wherever we do. Whatever we do, he has such powerful eyes. He doesn't have millions and thousands and billions. And he can still see us when we're bad.
He could be sitting on the table right now, but you can't see him.
He can't be everywhere at once doing everything for everybody. Everybody can't get what they want.
Welcome to the live broadcast today, ladies and gentlemen. It is Monday, October 23rd, 2023. My name is David Stovenel. My website is genuinechristianitynow.com. There are several ebooks placed there for those of you that would like to dig deeper into the real power behind the power in different legislatures in the states and etc. I highly recommend you visiting there frequently because there is information that you will receive there that you will not receive anywhere else. For example, the book about the Alpha Course, Hidden Secrets of the Alpha Course, is a must read because within that book is identified and described the power source of the people that are attempting to crush all resistance, all freedom, all liberty, all Christianity. And that power source is derived not from the Jews that everyone is getting fanatical about saying the Jews now, but the power source is the crown and the king that wears the crown, the King of England. I highly recommend you reading that. Anyway, the title for today's broadcast is I Count False Words the Foulest Plague of All. And this is a comment made by an ancient pagan Greek named Aeschylus in a book titled Prometheus Bound. I count false words the foulest plague of all. And do you know that free speech is our most cherished currency? It's more valuable than the dollar bill. Speech is currency. Please do keep that in mind. And today's broadcast is going to be focusing on a couple of different key issues. One is to not take something out of context and then run with it. For example, the words, the Jews, because that's all the cachet now, and the sentences start out with something like, I have friends that are Jews, and all the Jews are not Jews, and the Jews are the Jews, and everything is about, the focus is all about Jews now, instead of falsehoods and lies versus the truth. So the key to arriving at the truth is to focusing on and discovering for yourself and identifying the source of truth in, and speaking in the English-speaking world now, that's what I'm talking about. For those that don't read and write and speak English, they'll have to search harder in their own languages and also possibly learn the English language in order to get a better grasp of things, because it is the most widespread language on the planet, the English language, especially American English. Anyway, to not take something out of context and then to compare lies and liars from the truth, my source that I've arrived at is the 1611 Authorized Version, also known as the KJV Bible. Now, so that's where I balance whatever is said by anyone or in writing from any other source and then compare it to what is in the scriptures. Now, I'm going to go to a few different scriptures today in order to try to bring to your attention how just taking one verse and then applying that to your narrative for the rest of your life is it's a dramatic problem that you create for all the other people. Because if you stand on one key verse or one outside of the scriptures, one opinion of a Supreme Court somewhere in one of the nations of the world, especially in London and secondarily here in the United States. I'll give you a profound example. Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, and I'll read it in the KJV, the 1611 KJV authorized version in the English language. Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Now, if someone runs with that verse and makes every argument, focuses and centers every argument on that one verse out of context, they will be impressing in young minds, especially those minds that are still malleable, they will be impressing that the Jews that are not Jews are all the problems of the world, and no one else has ever told a lie or manipulated or stole or killed or robbed somebody or that type of thing. So that's why I'm warning against not taking a single verse out of context. Now, that's about the Jews that are not Jews that are identified as the synagogue of Satan in the scriptures. Well, we should ask ourselves, what about the Jews that are Jews, and are they above reproach? Are they above criticism? Let's take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. I'll wait a second for those of you that care to get to those passages in your Bible. Once again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men. Now, obviously, the apostle was writing and talking about Jews, and he was a Jew that would have known about the actions that transpired within Judea at the time of his writing of this and articulating this to others. Once again, if that is taken out of context, which there are people that are taking that out of context and running wild with it, E. Michael Jones being the most preeminent of those that take that out of context, and then everything else is secondary to that, to those two verses there, and that is his narrative, as if there has never been a Catholic that has stolen, robbed, raped, murdered, burned, destroyed. So taking that out of context and making that the centerpiece of a narrative is also, it also causes a plague. because anything outside of the scriptures are false words, including mine. Obviously, I'm convicting myself with every word I say, and I try to stay as true to the scriptures as I possibly can in my life and tell the truth all the time, because that is what depends on eternity and salvation, whether you go into punishment or into heaven with Christ Jesus and God the Father and Lord Holy Ghost. Anyway, the warning cannot be any more profound. I count false words the foulest plague of all. Everyone should take this to heart. Now, I'm going to the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, beginning with chapter 15 in the Gospel of John. This is where I left off with the last reading, the last time we were on air. Chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. As a slight digression, ladies and gentlemen, chapter 14 is all, it's red letter flowing into chapter 15 where I began. So these are the words of Jesus as recorded in chapter 15. To continue. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of chapter 15. I'm going to continue on reading through chapter 16 after making a couple of comments. I looked up a verse that I have just read a bit ago. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. And on the website that I looked at, there are 62 different versions, different Bible versions listed on the page that I posted on my website on October 11th, and you should look at it. It's an interesting study. Now, in the scriptures, there is a very severe warning to not pervert or subvert or change the word of God, or your punishment would be increased in the afterlife, in the spirit world, after your body and your spirit separate. And yet, there are 62 different versions that are, some are dramatically changed and dramatically different. And incidentally, even the start at the very top, it isn't a complete verse. It's out of context, because it isn't a complete verse that identifies the Jews who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, which is a fact in history in the scriptures. So that's an important factor to think about. Anyway, being sure that you are sure that you're reading the truth as best as could be ascertained, and that's where my conviction is after years of study and Bible criticism. The experts that studied the issue back into the ancient languages until it was translated into the English language, the KJV is the truth. Now, the scriptures I have in front of me, there are words that have completed sentences, because in the original ancient scriptures, there were not completed sentences. So it was a huge, enormous challenge in how to bring it into the English language, and we are blessed with it. Anyway, chapter 16. These are once again red letter words, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. These things have I spoken unto you that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh. Now, once again, a digression. He's talking to other Jews, his disciples, other Jews. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again, a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I go to the Father? They said, therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me? And again, a little while, and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in her travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now, therefore, have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name? Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. The call-in number, ladies and gentlemen, is 608-433-9306. I invite your comments, your criticism, your applause, or your disdain. Whatever your position is, wherever your heart is, your mouth will express that. And I invite people that are delirious and thrilled with the way things are going in their world right now, or those that are saddened at heart by the recent developments that are so tense. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, my website is genuinechristianitynow.com, and there have been no donations for a number of weeks, and actually into months now. So if there are no donations, next Monday will be the last broadcast for the foreseeable future. So if you are blessed by what I'm bringing to your attention, to separate the lies from the truth, and don't hate the liar, just hate the lie that is told, and call that liar to repentance, or that murderer to repentance. And there still is a legal structure in this country that has not totally collapsed. So if you still report criminals, liars, thieves, murderers, adulterers, etc., sodomites, to law enforcement, they still get paid a lot of money to enforce laws that are, in fact, on the books. Anyway, genuinechristianitynow.com. Your donations are accepted and gratefully accepted. And hopefully this broadcast would be able to continue on into the future, but it's up to you. Anyway, I'm going to continue reading in the Gospel of John, because this is so important that to bring a realization right from the Word of God, right from truth, that Jews are not exonerated from criticism. Jews are people too, just like every other person. Just like every other living human being, they are not above or beneath others. And there are those that, as I've said, there are those that grab a verse or a couple of verses out of context and then run with it as their centerpiece of their narrative. The Gospel of John identifies Jews as being problematic in many of their actions. That does not mean that Jews are above or beneath or different from anyone else. Continuing on now in the Gospel of John, still at the point toward the end of chapter 16, where Jesus answered them, "Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." Right there, Jesus prophesied the diaspora around the entire world. The Jews were scattered around the entire world after his crucifixion. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Pardon me. "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. That's the end of chapter 17. Now, I would like to mention that just recently I began posting on my website, which is genuinechristianitynow.com, a series that will continue to be posted, and it is well worth listening through from the start, even though it's literally at part three now on my website. And it's by a man named Paris, I'm forgetting his last name, Paris Reedhead, R-I-E-D-H-E-A-D. Anyway, the title of this series is So Great Salvation. And for the younger people, if you go to part number one, it deals with the of sin and that we are guilty. We have all sinned. A sin or many sins. The only one that was perfect and didn't was Jesus Christ, because he was God the Son. So he wasn't a blasphemer. He was telling the truth about that. Anyway, Paris Reedhead, and so the first, and these are only, they're less than an hour sermons, and this man provides a delivery that is very accurate to the scriptures, and everyone should listen to it, all ages, all people. And I would add to that, especially the Jews that are not Jews, and they should start at part one, so that they can recognize the nefarious ways, the depth of their depravity in their waging war on people all over the world. That's the Jews that are not Jews. You need to repent, Jews that are not Jews. You just call yourself Jews, but you're the synagogue of Satan. Those of you that snort cocaine and make war and profit from war, that type of thing. I won't mention any names, but it's been going on for centuries. Anyway, genuinechristianitynow.com, the series So Great Salvation by Paris Reedhead is a blessing to the heart when you listen to it. He describes the plan of salvation. And that, incidentally, the plan of salvation is about eternal life in the spirit world after the spirit leaves the body. But the byproduct is a wholesome atmosphere in this world while we're here. In other words, an upgrading of the culture, of the actions and the abilities of the people in every culture around the world in terms of the language that is used. And I'm finding a very disturbing trend now where people that self-identify as Christians in private conversations will use every disgusting language that they can possibly dredge up when a point is made that is a counterpoint to some falsehood that they say. They just go wild with disgusting language. So we're literally, I hope we're at a nadir. I hope we're at a low point in history right now, and pray to God that people snap out of their wickedness in all walks of life. And anyway, So Great Salvation is a great series that Paris Reed had delivered many, many years ago, and it's a blessing to the heart and to the people in every country that will listen to it and learn. In other words, separate the truth from the lies. Chapter 18, the Gospel of John. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with him. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am. If, therefore, ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him, and led him away to Annas first. For he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of the disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Ladies and gentlemen, I want to digress for a second here. Back to verse 31. Which is profound. It's a very, very profound verse. I want to reread it and then comment. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the standard that God delivered at Mount Sinai on the Ten Commandments That was the standard that the Hebrews were living by until there was a way discovered to contract out from being bound by the laws that God delivered. And that verse right there, verse 31 in chapter 18 in the Gospel of John, proves that. It says it is not lawful. This was a Jew speaking. Actually, Jews collectively speaking. It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. So they had to appeal to the Roman power to assume the responsibility that they were sloughing off. They were contracting out responsibility to do what they would not do themselves, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled. I'm back in the scriptures again now. Which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee or of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and said unto them, I find in him no fault, but ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of chapter 18 in the Gospel of John. Once again, I implore you to visit genuinechristianitynow.com for valuable information, up-to-date information about the movements of the different major powers in the world now that are nuclear armed powers, and the tensions that are rising. Those are some articles, but they certainly are not, I'm not focused on them as if I'm trying to take out of context the most dreadful news of the day in order to frighten anyone to donate. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to prevent enough current events news that you understand that we are in a situation right now that is very desperate, and there is only one source that you can appeal to for eternal salvation. And that source is belief in Jesus Christ. And there's two ways, literally two ways, that you can come to a knowledge of that truth. Actually, three ways. You can read or you can read yourself individually. You can go to Bible studies, or you can listen to great preachers. I have just started, over the course of this month, a series by Paris Reedhead called So Great Salvation. If you begin at part number one and go through that, and you don't have to wait on me to go through all of it, but everyone is very busy in their own lives, but they are less than an hour long sermons, and he describes in great detail the truth of the life, the torture at the demand of the Jews that were Jews, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, the only way to salvation. Muhammad can't do it. Buddha can't do it. Yuval Harari, however his name is pronounced, can't do it. High tech can't do it. AI can't do it. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. When your body and your soul, your spirit are separated, Jesus is the only way to salvation. That's the path to salvation. Jesus himself said, I am the way, that's the path to salvation. Learning the truth. The path to salvation is learning the truth. The way, the truth, and the life. He doesn't say, and I end in death. For example, the Holocaustianity cult, that's a death cult. That's a death cult. If you believe that the massive death that was created during World War II, which was a Holocaust, World War II was a Holocaust. It was a total burning of many, many people. I might add, the majority of whom were not Jews. For example, the Germans lost approximately 8 million souls. Approximately 8 million Germans were killed during World War II. It is said that the Russians, that approximately 22 million people were killed. I'm thinking that number is from the entire last century, though, starting with the with the revolution in Russia, where the Jews that are not Jews took over the government of Russia rather abruptly. So anyway, the So Great Salvation is a message for the here and the now in light of all of the terrible, dramatic, bad news that is in news reporting every day. It's an antidote to all of the hysteria, all the lies, all the deception. Sun Tzu, a Chinese theoretician about war, said all warfare is deception. I take umbrage to that because there is one form of warfare that is not deception. Praying and fasting is spiritual warfare that is not deceptive. That's appealing to God the Father through God the Son, that Lord Holy Ghost impresses on all of the people in the world to repent, get born again, and be in Christ Jesus, and Jesus Christ in you. And that purges out the most common or communist demon called self. So, ladies and gentlemen, I thank you kindly for listening into this broadcast today, and I'll see you next Monday at 9 a.m., which will be my final broadcast for the foreseeable future, unless there's a rather substantial amount of donations. It's up to you, ladies and gentlemen. I do hope that my messages have blessed you immensely and that you carry on in Christ Jesus.